What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 29th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I know I'm a little late today. I am moving in the next week. So just keep in mind that among everything, including, I don't know, that we have live baseball to stream with live chat for free on playback.tv/pitcherlist. Like literally every single game. We're watching the Yankees and the Brewers right now. We just saw them hit four home runs in the first inning, which is ridiculous. Poor Nestor Cortez, who's two ticks down. But we'll talk more about him tomorrow, as yesterday's games is who we got to talk about now. We have Jack Leiter, otherwise known as Jack Zippo. Huge performance yesterday against the Rangers. For the Rangers against the Red Sox. Five innings, one earned run, five hits, one walk, and four Ks. We love to see this. He got a win in this one as well. And huge shout out to Rated Rookies for coming up with a Jack Zippo nickname. I just think that's so good for Jack Leiter. And the four-seamer is doing everything that we like. We have 98 mile per hour velocity and 16 to 17 inches of vert, which is fine. It's not 18, but that's okay. 7.1 feet of extension, 1.5 height adjusted VAA. All of that is just so good. And then you also have the secondaries. Now, the secondaries are still not there yet for Jack Leiter. It's 0 for 13 whiffs on the changeup. He's not really getting it quite down as much as you want. The slider, he didn't really face many right-handers, so the slider was more on the back burner, but it was 2 for 10 whiffs, which is 20% swing strike rate, but you know, it's not really like this demonstrative, like, hey, I'm going to destroy you now kind of pitch. And you have the sinker that wasn't well-spotted, but it still is inside the mix, and as long as he has this extension and throwing both four-seamers and sinkers for strikes, that will be enough because it's just so hard, and that extra movement is just so difficult when you throw in the slider, right? So long story short, I think Jack Leiter, as he goes through the season, is going to get better. He has all the tools now. It's not just four-seamer and slider. It's not him just trying to figure out between the slider and the curveball what he can throw for strikes. He also has this sinker that should help the four-seamer do more damage. We also have the changeup that isn't well spotted now, but he has a good feel for that kick change, and I imagine he's going to get better with it over the season. I'm very much in on Jack Leiter. Remember, he will have problems. April will be tough. That said, you should still go through this. The moment that Jack Leiter has struggles and then comes out of it is when he's going to soar for the rest of the year. I'm willing to make the investment in all of my leagues. Kyle Freeland also pitched. He had the King Cole, 42% CSW. There's another guy who also had one. We'll talk about him soon. But Kyle Freeland against the Rays in George Steinbrenner Field, which I'm calling GameStop because GS. And also, it's like the meme of the year. And it's just for 1 year. Kyle Freeland had a good game. He does this. He's a guy who can go six innings, and he actually has a new sweeper, which is in there, which is kind of cool. 87% sweeper strikes with the 84 sinker strikes. The Rays offense isn't very good. And even though it's in Giants, George Steinbrenner Field, I just don't think that's a very good offense. And maybe they'll get hot moving forward, but they really did Kyle Freeland a ton of favors on a lot of these pitches over the plate. And he didn't get punished at all. Actually, he did get punished, Kyle Freeland, by his team. They pulled him after 67 pitches in six innings. And what do you know? He lost the win, all right? It was so frustrating to see it. He should have honestly gone a complete game shutout. He could have thrown a Maddux for the way that he was just cruising through these lineups. You have Jeffrey Springs, a former Ray, pitching in Seattle. And let's be honest, Seattle is very much confirmed to be a pitcher's park. Six innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts for Springs. 17 whiffs for a co-share of the Gallows Pole. And what we saw was your standard Springs stuff. He didn't face many lefties, which is honestly a blessing for him, even though he's a lefty, because his changeup is by far his best offering. He throws him against right-handers effectively. And he generally kept his four-seamer upstairs and didn't get crushed by that pitch. And that's all he really needs to do to destroy righties. But against lefties, his slider isn't very good. And that's where he has his biggest issue. So I think teams should be throwing lefties against Jeffrey Springs. Favor his platoon split versus your batter's platoon split. I really think it would work well for them. But anyway, Jeffrey Springs, yes, sunshine and rainbows here. And I think we'll see generally more of this moving forward. I don't think he's as good as he used to be, but yeah, he should be a Holly for the most part for your teams. Ryan Pepia was opposite Kyle Freeland, and he looks so good. Six innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. He honestly should have allowed fewer hits. The defense didn't do him any favors. I think 3 or 4 of them were down the third baseline, and he looks so good. That Rockies team, I don't think is the best offense. They have some, obviously, some cool things. They have Beck, they have Doyle, they have Taglia, Tovar maybe. But long story short, to see the slider at a 79% strike rate is great. The heater is still around 19 inches of vert despite not pitching in the trop, which is really cool. Yeah, Ryan Pepiot to me, I love this, and I hope that we see that kind of control from him moving forward for just one walk in six innings. Mitch Keller against the Marlins, he did what he was supposed to do, six innings with a win, with good ratios and just four Ks. I'm not really seeing anything massively different. We have a four-seamer that is at 93, which is worse, but then you see 2 to 3 inches of vert, so that's okay. Two over 34 whiffs, though, isn't really what we want, and I just still feel like you don't want to go for Mitch Keller, guys. Like, this is, you know, it's Mitch Keller. I'm happy it worked out against the Marlins, but let's be honest, like, no. We have Tyler McGill against the Astros, and 5 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. This is the best game I've seen from Tyler McGill in a very long time. Tyler McGill did a few things. One, he is going 96, 97 mile per hour velocity and locating it. Oh my gosh, he was actually upstairs and away against right-handed batters. It was incredible. He didn't really face any lefties, by the way, so this was all against righties. But then he paired it because he has this extension with a sinker. And that sinker was really good, going down and in to right-handers. And then the slider, which Lance Berzowski in his newsletter pointed out, which I didn't catch in the roundup and I should have, is more of a gyro one and getting good break on that. And that's good because coming off of that extension, that's what it should be. So I'm such a huge fan of that. However, Tyler McGill has never really shown this command consistently, right? And that's the problem for me. I mean, it's a lot more drop, I should say, with that slider, by the way. 6 inches of more drop with that slider. He lost one tick of velocity of it. That's cool with me. Really get that separation of that four-seamer and slider. If he can consistently do this, I mean, literally, what we saw yesterday against the Astros, 77 pitches, could easily have gone 8, Tyler McGill. He is Tylord McGill again. And I'd say pick him up for this. Do not do the yo-yo stuff of, like, if you have a guy going tomorrow or Monday or whatever, and you just don't get a start from anyone. Like, you drop that guy, and then you get McGill, and then, you know, maybe you get McGill's start, but then you drop him, like, that kind of thing. Like, still see it out, because it's one start for McGill. But this is the best version of McGill. And, oh, boy, do I hope that this is real. You have Merrill Kelly going against the Cubs. Merrill Kelly is doing Merrill Kelly things. I mean, yeah, four walks is weird. 46% strikes in the changeup is so not him. But 1 run, 3 hits. Like, he has a good defense behind him. He's not going to be a strikeout guy. He is a Toby, and he probably will be Spider-Man of the year. That is the best version of Toby Maguire. Renato Lopez and Hunter Brown are other guys I really want to talk about, and we're going to talk about those guys and many more after this break. Renato Lopez against the Padres, 5 innings, 3 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, and 1 strikeout. Yeah, so how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? And 1 over 49 whiffs on his heater at 52% usage. So the velocity is actually fine. I was really terrified about that in spring, but he actually executed it at the same exact velocity of 95-96 from last year. But Renato Lopez's biggest problem from last season was that he has no strike pitch outside of his fastball. His slider was a sub 60% strike rate. His curveball was well underneath that. And this one, a 23% slider strikes. Not usage, strikes. He threw 30 of them. How he only had 2 walks is beyond me. But actually, you know what? What happens is that he can throw fastballs for strikes. So when it gets to be a 3-ball count, he's just throwing fastballs. And they're noticing 9 hits here by the Padres, right? So I cannot get behind this. That's why you have 1 over 49 whiffs on the fastball for Renato Lopez. It just does not add up to me. I do not want to go after Renato Lopez, guys. Hunter Brown against the Mets. 6 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. He was juiced for this game. I think that we're not going to see that 98-mile-per-hour velocity stick. That's 2 ticks higher than last year. Now, it went 2 for 24 whiffs. And that's still kind of the thing with Brown that's weird for me. It's like 13 whiffs over 96 pitches is not bad. That's like actually like slightly above league average, right? I think around 11% maybe to 12% swing strike rate overall on all your pitches is kind of expected at this point. So that's fine. 31% CSW, like this looks like a fine start. It's just what is it that I'm supposed to really latch onto with Hunter Brown? You know, 3 for 22 whiffs on the changeup and a 55% strike rate, but it was precise, but like, it's not that deceptive. The cutter kind of floated up a bit and was hit really hard. The sinker was actually really good at times, like a 47% CSW, but then it leaked over and then it got hit really hard. It's just, he's not a fun pitcher to watch in my view. And I don't like the fact that he doesn't really have this leader pitch to me. Like he doesn't have, I mean, really he's trying to be like the four seamer sinker, but it's just nothing to me is truly elite with him. And it just makes it feel more boring than I want. So I feel like Hunter Brown's just going to be a Holly for the most part and doesn't really have the flirtation of ace is going to ace, but I hope to be wrong. I mean, I could just look at the results of him throwing harder and just call it a day. And maybe that's what you want from me. And that's fine. That's totally fine. I hope that a lot of you guys disagree with me, but don't like hate that I have a different opinion than you. Like, I hope you understand my logic, you know, and if you put different weights and you put different weights, I get that. Jack Flaherty against the Dodgers, his former team, 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Slider really struggled, but the curveball didn't. Oh man, he faced mostly lefties and that curveball was just so precise to them. Oh man, that was so close. Well, we saw a bit last year, but the slider was better last year. Keep that in mind. And we have the four seamer that I think got away with a good amount, against right-handers specifically. But yeah, it was, I'm not quite sold, but yeah, you keep starting Flaherty. I don't know if that curveball is going to continue to be that good. I don't know if he's really going to be able to get away with that fastball the way he did here. Yoshinobu Yamamoto was on the other side. He had the co-share of the Gallows Ball at 17 whiffs, 42% CSW, but just underneath from the decimal point under Freeland. And we had an interesting one where I feel like he heard me shouting on playback. And by the way, if you haven't checked it out yet, yes, we are live streaming every single baseball game on playback.tv/pitcherlist. And if you have an MLB.tv account, you will see it. You will just hang out. It's live sync chat. We've done it for 2 days now. It's the third day already here. It's so cool. I cannot express this enough. It is just so cool. So go check it out. Just go to playback.tv/pitcherlist. Watch some baseball with us. And I am excited to see you guys there, really. No sports betting DFS talk, of course, duh. Anyway, with Yamamoto, I was watching this and I was shouting, my gosh, like he needs a bridge pitch. He's just throwing four seamers and splitters. Splitter got crushed by torque and it's just, you need that extra thing. And all of a sudden Yamamoto starts throwing them. Seven, cutters were thrown and I liked them. They're like a 90, 91. That will work. So I wonder if Yamamoto will embrace that more throughout the game moving forward. You have Luis Castillo. And by the way, yeah, 10 Ks. It was great for Yamamoto. You feel really good with this. Too bad you didn't get a win. Luis Castillo against the Athletics in Seattle. 5 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. His four seamer is very interesting to me. It's just not that good. And he throws it upstairs a lot, high swing rates, but really good location with the changeup here. And I really like that. And we just keep going with Castillo. I think he's just like a low end Holly. You're not going to drop all year, but like, be careful if he starts creeping into 125 whip territory for the entire year. Kevin Gausman, speaking of which, 6 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. Got the win against the Orioles. And yeah, he's a Holly, but like, this is not a new Gausman. Same guy. I know he's sitting a little bit harder right now, 95 mile per hour velocity with a little bit more vert on the four-seamer, but 2 for 34 whiffs on the splitter. The slider, I think some people were talking about the slider. No, that is not a good game-changing of a pitch. Connor Glipsy is pitching for the Pirates, not the one that hit that home run off of Noah Syndergaard, different guy. I think he's a rare deep streamer for NL-only leagues. This might have been a bad one because it was his first game as a starter. He only threw 3 games in relief for the Guardians last year across his entire career. So just keep an eye on it. I guess there's something kind of interesting of like dancing with a disco with a slider and then having 19 inches of vert with a flat attack angle at 92. Is kind of interesting with Glipsy, but no, 52% strike rate. Dylan Cease against Atlanta. It's Dylan Cease, guys. 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. 93 pitches to get bounced in the fifth. And he was already over 60 in the third. So it was a mix of like really good and really bad Dylan Cease. I remember watching him thinking, oh man, this guy is, I should have ranked him in the top 10. And I'm like, oh right, this is why. I think the changeup will get better, though. He's trying to work that out against lefties or certain situations when he should have thrown it against a lefty and he didn't. But I think that Dylan Cease yeah, he's going to be better, I think, than usual this year. And there's something to be said about that. Tanner Houck against the Rangers did not look good. And if you're holding on to Tanner Houck in a 12-teamer, I would honestly drop and swap. I really don't think you should be holding on to this. 5.2 innings of 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. Why? He's down 5 inches on sweep on his signature slider. That's a huge deal. Like, that's a really, really huge deal. And without that, he's much worse. Not to mention, he didn't earn a single whiff on his splitter till a left-handed batter. So he looked bad in his final start. We just saw the line. It was an atrocity. And it looks like it's carrying over here. I don't feel like you need to hold on to it for the potential ceiling of a run. Just go and swap it for Tyler McGill. Like, that's, it's that easy in your 12-teamers. Charlie Morton against the Jays, 3.1 innings of 4 runs, yada, yada, yada. With Morton, he's a Vargas rule in the future. When that happens, I'll let you know. But you don't need to touch him in a 12-teamer right now. Honestly, in 15-teamers, I think you can just stream week to week instead of Morton. And Jameson Taillon did not look good against the Diamondbacks. He didn't face too many righties, but when he did, he threw some bad breakers, which you guys might have heard about with Suarez. And I think, you know, he's going to be that streaming option in 12-teamers. I don't really want to go for it against the Athletics. All right, that is it for today. I'm going to hold back from talking about the streamers for today because you guys know, by the time I put this out, the quick table is there for you. It's been there for, you know, we have the day after tomorrow. Nothing really has changed. So go check that one out. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.